Awesome. Daniel chapter 9. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, what a blessing it is to have your word, to have truth. Plain truth. Set out before us on the pages of your scripture. Lord, I thank you for how encouraging your word is. I thank you for how comforting. And I also thank you that you build us up through your word. You challenge us. Help us to understand and help us to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It was John Bunyan who said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." In other words, prayer is to be our first essential action as Christians in all circumstances of life. Do you believe that? Have a decision to make? Pray first before you do anything else. Do you have a difficulty that you're facing in life? Pray first before you do anything else. Want to live your day for the Lord? Pray first thing in the morning before you do anything else. Prayer should be our go-to. And when we pray, we want it to be powerful. We want to pray powerful prayers, effectual prayers. We don't want dull, lifeless, ineffective prayer. We want to pray with great power. And this morning, I've taken you to a prayer that is very powerful. It's a prayer that Daniel prayed. It's recorded in Daniel chapter 9. And here's an example of powerful praying. And there's much to learn about how to pray from what we're about to read. So begin in verse 1 with me. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Hasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said." So here we have an actual prayer of Daniel recorded in this chapter. But please understand that this wasn't his only prayer. Daniel prayed many prayers. This just happens to be one that was recorded. And in fact, we know that Daniel was a committed man of prayer. He was consistent and disciplined in prayer. In fact, we studied in Daniel chapter 6, his daily routine was to pray formally 3 times every day. Every day, Daniel would go up into the upper chambers of his house. He would open the windows towards Jerusalem. He would get down on his knees, and he would pray 3 times every day. And that was his practice since being taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. He was a teenager when he was taken captive. For 70 years, Daniel prayed like this 3 times every day. And I think that is a good reason why the life that he lived was so supernatural, so fruitful, so amazing. And so this prayer that we're about to read in Daniel chapter 9 was born out of a lifetime of prayer. And that's what made it so powerful. Now, my brother and my sister in Christ, listen carefully. It's important. If you want to be effective in prayer, if you want to see God do miracles in and through your life, then be consistent in prayer. I'm not saying that all of us need to begin praying formally 3 times every day, although that is what Daniel did. But I think that we should be committed enough to pray daily, regularly. That's what Daniel did. That's what other guys in the Bible did that were used mightily by the Lord. That's what our Lord did in his public ministry. He prayed daily. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And the tense behind those verbs is ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Jesus, when he taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread, implying daily, regular prayer. You know, there are some Christians that only knock on God's door when it's an emergency. Oh, I ran out of money. I can't pay my bills. I better go pray. Oh, there's this problem that's come into my life. I better go pray. And the only time they come to the Lord is when they need. And you know what? God is so gracious. So many times he blesses and provides for us. But then the Christian goes and never to pray again, not till the next emergency. You know, as a dad, I would be so bummed out if every time my kids came up to me, they wanted some. Can I have the keys? Can I have some candy? Can I have some money? You know, there's times as a dad where you just want your kids to come and talk. And I think our Heavenly Father's like that too. Listen, if you will discipline yourself as a Christian man or woman to spend regular time with your Lord in prayer, you are going to see amazing things happen in and through your life. And that time of prayer that you have with the Lord, not something that you just check off your list. Don't make it a religious duty. Make it what it is, and that's you getting to have an encounter with the living God. Daniel prayed consistently. I want you to notice that Daniel also prayed biblically. Notice it says that Daniel prayed this prayer, it says in verse 1, in the first year of Darius, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. This was the first king of the Medo-Persians who defeated the Babylonian Empire. So this prayer was offered in year 1 of the Medo-Persian Empire, which was 538 BC. Just make note of that year. 538 BC is when Daniel prayed this prayer. And then look at verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So in the year 538 BC, Daniel's reading his Bible. He's reading the book of Jeremiah the prophet. And he discovers something amazing. He was reading, in my opinion, Jeremiah 25, which was a promise to the nation of Israel from God. This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon. Jeremiah 29, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. So he's reading in his Bible that the nation of Israel will be in captivity for 70 years. Daniel was taken into captivity in 605 BC. 70 years later would have been 635 BC. It's 638 BC. Daniel's like, whoa, 3 more years to go. Finds that promise and begins to pray for it to be so. Literally, Daniel had his Bible open, reading the promises of Scripture. And that prompted him to pray, and he prayed for the fulfillment of those promises. And the thing that I find really neat about this is, if you look at history, Babylon actually came against Jerusalem 3 times. They came in 605 BC, that's when they took Daniel. They came a second time in 597 BC, that's when they got Ezekiel the prophet. They came a third time in 587 BC, and that's when they ransacked Jerusalem, destroyed the walls, destroyed the temple. So that 70-year clock could have started at 3 different times. 605, 597, or 587. Daniel begins to pray. And as it turns out, the clock would start with the earliest deportation. So in effect, you could even say that Daniel, by his prayer, actually caused those prophecies to be fulfilled 18 years earlier as opposed to 18 years later. Praying according to Scripture, if you want your prayers to be powerful. Oh, listen, my brother and sister in Christ, pray biblically. Pray according to what you read in the Bible, which means, Christian, you need to get to know your Bible. And I was, every day, open your Bible. Have that time before the Lord. Hear from him, read his promises, and then pray them. Pray the promises of Scripture. Find the will of God. You know, the purpose of prayer is not so that you can get your will accomplished in heaven. You know what the purpose of prayer is? To get God's will accomplished on earth. In fact, that's what Jesus told us when he said, pray this way. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The whole point of prayer is to find God's will. Pray according to his, pray the promises of his word. There will be great power. Daniel prayed consistently. He prayed biblically. You can also see here that he prayed in humility. Look at verse 3. It says, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel was a bigwig in the royal court. He would have wore the best robes. He would have eaten at the king's table. And when he came before the Lord on this occasion in prayer, he took off the royal robes. He put on sackcloth. He put ashes all over his head. He went into a time of fasting. He literally humbled himself like a pauper before the living God. He prayed in humility. Those are powerful prayers. If you want your prayer life to be powerful, pray in humility. Pray reverently. You know, the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you pray, let there be no question whatsoever as to who is the master and who is the servant in the conversation. Amen? You come before God, and you come before him reverently. Jesus Christ is our best friend, but he is also our king. And he deserves the respect and reverence and humble quality in approaching him as our king. Pray with humility. You know, I am really bothered by the way I hear some Christians pray. You know, some Christians have been taught that they can just sort of go into the throne room of God and demand stuff from God. Some Christians have been taught you go to heaven and you claim it. You demand it by faith. And I've even heard some Christian leaders pray, and it sounds like they're ordering God around. God, you will do this because I claim this. Hey, listen, I'm all into faith. And I believe that God can do anything. But you come as a humble servant. You don't order God around. He orders you around. You get on your knees before the Lord. You submit and surrender your will to the Lord as you're asking him. Pray with humility. God blesses greatly humble people. The prideful, arrogant people, he doesn't have time for. Pray in humility. Now, Daniel prayed in humility, but he also prayed with intensity. There's a balance there. Look again at verse 3. It says, then I set my face towards the Lord God. In other words, I zeroed in on God. And then it says, I made request by prayer and supplications. And I want you to know that in the original Hebrew language, this is very, very strong. In fact, this is known as an emphatic imperative in the Hebrew that denotes extreme intensity. The idea is Daniel sought the Lord and earnestly pleaded with him. Begged. This is fervent, urgent prayer. In fact, one Hebrew scholar likens this word to the word wrestle. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel? Daniel is wrestling with God here. This is emotional praying. This is passionate praying. Daniel has come humbly, but he is also letting it all out. It's fire. Pray like that. Christian, pray with passion. Pray with urgency. Pray with fervency. Don't pray robotically, tentatively. You know, there are some Christians, it's almost like they don't even think when they're praying. They're just kind of mouth, it's vain repetition. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. What? Some Christians, dear Lord, yada, 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 yada. Pray with fire. Think about what you're praying. Pray with passion. We serve a God who can do anything. Ask him for anything. Pray with intensity. You know, usually before the service here, the guys gather around in a circle and we pray for the service. And a lot of times if I'm in that circle and I'll pray, I have to warn people, I talk with my hands. I'm always talking with my hands. And a lot of times when I pray, I am squeezing people's hands. Man, squeeze hands when you pray. Mean it. Daniel did. The other day I was at a red light and I looked over next to me and there was a guy totally alone in his car and just having this intense conversation. It looked really strange. And then, you know, he had the little Bluetooth thing. So he's having a phone on the conversation. But it was almost like, man, that's kind of how we should pray. Adamantly. Passionately. Set your face towards the Lord your God. Wrestle. Cry out. Daniel also prayed confessionally. Read this prayer that he prayed. Verse 4, he says, "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the peoples of the land. O Lord," he's praying, "righteousness belongs to you, but to us, shame of face, as it is to this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you." Verse 12, "And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, for under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth." Verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly." This is open confession. See, the reason Israel was taken into captivity for 70 years in Babylon was because of their sin. They were the nation of God. They were the blessed people of God. God had redeemed them from Egypt, brought them into the promised land, set them up in a sweet land, land flowing with milk and honey. Gave them the land. Eventually gave them kings, gave them a temple, a capital city in Jerusalem. God's blessing upon his people were so great, but you know the history of Israel. They rebelled. They turned their backs on the Lord. They got involved in idolatry. They began to live hypocritical lives. Over several hundred years, God sent prophets to his nation like Isaiah, Jeremiah, to warn them, telling the nation, repent, turn around, repent. They ignored those warnings, and eventually judgment came. The discipline of the Lord came against their nation, and they were taken captivity into Babylon. Jerusalem was destroyed. And Daniel is acknowledging all of that. Daniel's saying, you know, God, I admit it's been our fault. We as a nation neglected you. We as a nation disobeyed you. We as a nation didn't hear all the warnings. You brought us into Babylon, and you know what? We deserved it, and shame on us. God, you're righteous. We're shamefaced. Absolutely admitted it. And he didn't water it down. He used all the right words. He didn't say, Lord, we made a few errors. He didn't say, Lord, we made some mistakes. Oops. He said, Lord, we sinned. We committed iniquities. We were wicked. We have blown it. And notice also that Daniel included himself with his sinful nation. Now, as I read Daniel's life, I can't see, there's not a greater man of integrity that I find in the Bible. Daniel was an amazing man of God. Yet, he identified himself with the sinful nation. And in this prayer of national repentance, says, Lord, forgive our nation. We've sinned greatly. By the way, wouldn't this be a great prayer to pray for our nation? After open confession in verse 16, he continues in his prayer, O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplication, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Throwing himself at the mercy of God. We deserved it. Now, Lord, according to your righteousness and your mercy, forgive us. Act. Heal. Forgive. We're sinners. We need to be forgiven. Let me tell you, that be powerful praying. Those are powerful, powerful prayers. When you admit that you need God, when you admit that you've blown it, and when you throw yourself at the mercy of the Lord, he hears those prayers. Psalm 51 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Listen, if you come before God with a broken heart, with a broken spirit, he will not despise you. He will not turn his back on you. Now, if you come before God and you try to cover up your sin, act like, I don't need God, or come with an arrogant attitude as we spoke about earlier, he won't see you. But if you come with that broken heart, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Confessional prayers. You know, every time you come before the Lord in prayer, confess. You know, every time I come before the Lord in prayer, I'm blown away that I get to come before the Lord. Because we should always acknowledge this idea and this wonderful, beautiful truth that really we are sinners, but God by his grace has washed away all of our sin. Come before the Lord as one who knows how good you've been given it, how much you've been cleansed. There's one more characteristic I'd like you to see. Daniel also in this prayer prayed for the glory of God. His focus was God's glory. In verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine. Verse 19, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, your city, your people, called by your name. Daniel was praying that God would be glorified. Lord, bring your people back to Jerusalem. Rebuild the city for your name, your glory, that you might be magnified and lifted up. When Daniel prayed, he was praying ultimately for the glory of God. Please understand that. Did you know that Daniel would never go back to Jerusalem? This whole thing would be fulfilled just as God said. They would be allowed to go back. But Daniel probably died of old age in Babylon. So he never saw personally or experienced personally the fulfillment of this promise being fulfilled. But it didn't matter to Daniel, because for Daniel, it was about God being glorified. Lord, do it for your glory. When we pray, Christian, when we pray, we need to get to that point in our life where prayer is all about glorifying Him. Do you understand? Lord, your name be glorified in my life. Lord, in this situation, you work things out in such a way that you will be magnified. Does it matter about me? No, Lord, I'm just your servant. You be glorified. You know, there are many of us as Christians who believe that God exists for us. You know, God exists just to give you everything you want. God's out there because he's going to help me every time I call. He's going to give me this and this and this. God exists to bless me. You know what? He is a gracious God. And he blesses. But the truth is, we exist for him. We exist to glorify him. To make him known. See that in your prayer. Pray that he would be glorified. Pray. pray consistently. Pray biblically. Pray with humility. Pray with intensity. Pray confessionally. Pray with the ultimate goal in mind of Him getting all glory. Notice what happens after he prays this great prayer. Look at verse 20. While I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I've come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. That prayer was answered before he got done praying. It says right at the beginning of the supplication. Why does Daniel begin? The word went forth, the command went out, the angel Gabriel was dispatched. Came with a vision for Daniel to absolutely confirm the fact that the people would be allowed back in. And to give Daniel the most amazing prophecy in the entire Old Testament, which we will study next week. Listen, prayer accomplishes stuff. God moves through powerful prayer. Pray like Daniel did. My prayer this whole week in thinking about this study is that all of God's people would be fired up to pray. To pray regularly. To make it a part of your day. Try it. See if God won't do amazing things. I dare you to do it. I double dog dare you. Start praying every morning and you watch your life change. Now, in closing, please understand that prayer like this is only possible for those who are in a right relationship with God. Prayer like this is only possible for those who have become children in the family of God. You say, well, I'd like to pray like that. I'd like to enter into a relationship with God where I can communicate with Him like that. In order to get right with God, you need to have all of your sins washed away. See, the Bible says sin is that barrier that separates us from God who's holy. As a sinner, you are not permitted into the presence of God. You can't have a relationship with Him on your own, which is why God sent Jesus, His Son, who died on the cross, so that all of the sins of sinners could be forgiven. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that all of your sins are forgiven, that God will see you as if you've never sinned. Thereby, you come into His family and become His child, and you get to call God your heavenly Father. And you enter into a relationship with Him, you become born again, and you can then pray with great power. If you've never received Christ, I would invite you to do so this morning. Why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads? Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, thank you for the work that you have done. Thank you for salvation, that we can come into your family, and that we can talk to you and you hear us. Father, I pray first for your people here this morning. Lord, fire us up for prayer. I pray that we would regularly meet with you. What an amazing privilege you've given us. I pray that we would use it. Lord, I pray that those quiet times with you would blossom. Call us as your people to those regular meeting times with you. And then, Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has never received you. You may be here this morning and you know that right now, you need to make that decision right now. You need to have all of your sins forgiven. You need to get them all washed away. There's only one way to have all your sins forgiven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at the cross for you. And you must place your faith in him. If you've never done that, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. You pray. Cry out to the Lord. Pray this prayer. Pray, Lord Jesus, I throw myself at you. I admit I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the price. And I ask that you would wash away all my sins right now. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Make me a member of your family. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to close with the song. We're going to have leaders at our church up here in the front. If you need prayer for anything, we'd like to pray with you or for you. If you prayed to receive Christ, then I invite you to come forward and share that with one of us so we can help you in your walk with Jesus Christ.